Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Clan used to rally downtown in my city. And you wonder why the race relationship's so shitty? Show no pity. That's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city. It's all over the TV. Martin Luther King. I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit, but the timing sure make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame and never take no wooden nickels when they all
homie,
change.
I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
they
the big picture.
Picture's worth a thousand words, so when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean, but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes, but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with them trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Breeze told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stun. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
I want you to know that I want you to see. If you ever think about me, and if you think about me, niggas, and if you ain't gonna do no revolutionary act, forget about me. I don't want myself on your mind if you're not gonna work for the people. Like we always said, if you actually make a commitment at the age of 20, and you say, I don't want to make that commitment, only because of the simple reason that I'm too young to die, I want to live a little bit longer. What you did already.
You have to understand that people have to pay the price for peace. If you dare to struggle, you dare to win. If you dare not to struggle, then goddamn it, you don't deserve to win. Let me say peace to you if you're willing to fight for it. Let me say it in the spirit of liberation. I've been gone for a little while. At least my body's been gone. You ain't got to repeat after me. At least my body's been gone for a little while. But I'm back now, and I believe that I'm back to stay. I believe that I'm going to do my job, and I believe that I was born not to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die from slipping on a piece of ice. I don't believe I'm going to die because I got a bad heart. I don't believe I'm going to die because of lung cancer. I believe that I'm going to be able to die what I was in the thing that I was born for. I believe that I'm going to be able to die high off the people. I believe that I will be able to die as a revolutionary in the international revolutionary proletarian struggle. And I hope that each one of you will be able to die in the international proletarian revolutionary struggle, even in people living in it. And I think that struggle is going to come. Why don't you live for the people? Why don't you struggle for the people? Why don't you die for the people?
right. Just wanted to start the show off a little different tonight. After the song, I wanted to hear some words of inspiration. Right now, I just want to really give a moment of silence to all of those who continue to be lost. All right. Welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is the Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. Tonight's show is going to be another one of those episodes where I may say some things a little off the cuff. I may say some things out of anger, frustration. But it is what it is. This is just one of those open rant shows. You can call in tonight, get it off your chest. Say it how you want to say it, because I know how, and it's just sad that we're living in a time where life is so invaluable and we take it for granted. And we not only have an external enemy, we have internal enemies as well. Like I say, tonight I don't really have a specific topic. I'm just going to talk about a few things that I know are going on, and hopefully once the lines light up before I get started, those of you who want to call in number is 914-205-553. Feel free to call in. Like I say, I'm not really speaking on a specific topic tonight. I'm going to talk about a few things here in my opening commentary. Just some things really that bothered me and some things I was called in to one of the Queen shows on last night, and she asked me a question last night that I said, it's just been on my mind all day, really. She called in, I called in, and she asked me if I, what did I think, what is it that we're not doing and what is it that we need to do? And that was just such a wide open question, and it really hit me upside the head. And really, I've been thinking about that all day today, because there's just so much going on. And then we have another police shooting in where else but Minnesota. And then your president gets on television talking about, is, you know, calling for peace and calm. But, you know, now I want y'all to recall a couple of weeks ago, you know, they are up in arms about these Asians, and they're trying to put the blame of what's happening to the Asians on us. So it's just pertinent, y'all, that, let me go on and say this, we understand and realize how much we need each other. I'm going to go on and get that out of the way now. That's just my new catchphrase. I said I'm going to keep saying that until we get this shit right. Dante Wright, another young man gunned down, 20 years old, during a traffic stop. They said that the young brother had a warrant. and they were going to arrest him. I really don't, you know, the backstories to me now don't even really fucking matter anymore. The fact of the matter to me is this shit keeps happening, and we keep allowing it to happen to us. We can stop these Dante Wrights from happening if we come together and stay together. And that's one point that I did make last night, our inability to stay together. We got to stay together longer than the situation that is upon us. We got to stay together long enough to change the condition. And we're not doing it. We're not staying together long enough to put something on these motherfuckers' mind. Just going to say it how it is. Like I say, this show may be a little rough. I'm just feeling some kind of way. I'm watching the news a minute ago, and on top of the Dante Wright situation, there's a situation. I live in Texas, as you all know, most of you know. But there's a situation here in Texas. And I was actually going to give my mind a rest, but when I saw this, I decided to go ahead and do a show because, y'all, we got to do something. And I'm going to tell you, racism is a learned, say that again, behavior. And it's a situation here in Texas, in Aledo, Texas, to be exact, A-L-E-D-O, Aledo, which is a suburban area here in the DFW area, mainly those people. But long story short, at this particular school, it was reported that a group of students set up a slave auction, set up an online slave auction. These were white students that did this. See, racism is a learned behavior that can be unlearned. And I'm going to say this because it's time for us to start looking at things different. And not only looking at things different, it's time for us to start dealing with things differently. Now, in this situation in Aledo, everybody is cupcaking around what it really is. They're calling it cyberbullying, which is bullshit. Cyberbullying has, and like I say, these behaviors, these characteristics are learned. And I'm saying that to say somebody's teaching them this. And see, the difference between us and them is that we don't teach our children to hate. We, as a people, pretty much teach our children to learn, stay out of the way, and do something with yourself. And we never allow that ability because of bullshit like this that's happening, Aledo ISD. And like I say, they're trying to, you know, make the situation not so bad by calling it cyberbullying. No, that is straight up and down. I don't care how you look at it. It is racism at its finest. And then it went on to say in the article how one of the students made a comment about one of the other, they had, I think it was a total of 44 black students that they had put into this slave pool, and they were actually betting. It wasn't real money, but, you know, just a just the whole situation is messed up. It's messed up. And they refuse to call it a hate crime, which is what it is. There's really no other way that you can look at that. I mean, they call this the nigger slave auction or something like that, to that effect, if I remember correctly. But see, then, these are the same individuals who run into young men like Dante Wright as officers. See, because most officers are not real men without that gun and that badge and that gang that they run with, because that's the real gang. And we need to wake up to that. I could say some things, but I don't want no knocks at my door. But it's time to deal with what needs to be dealt with straight up and down. I can't say it no plainer than that. We're dying out here in real time. Dante Wright is no longer with us because somebody failed it. And look at how they're playing this story, saying that she thought she pulled her taser. Now, I saw the video. I can appreciate the transparency, if you want to call it that. But too little too late. A young man lost his life. They're trying to stress how she only shot once. She thought she pulled her taser. Yeah, I saw the video. I did hear her say taser. But I'm going to say this as well. Now, if you have officers on the street patrolling to protect and serve or whatever the fuck it is that they decide to do that cannot tell a taser from a handgun, has no business with a badge nor a gun. She should have been with some white gloves, standing on the corner helping old ladies cross the street, or something else, besides being an armed officer on the street. Now, I'm no scientist, I'm no genius, but I'm no dummy neither. And I know weapons, and you can look at a taser. A taser is built totally different. Some are built similar to handgun handles, but the majority of the tasers are totally different build from your handgun, from your weapon, your service weapon. And if an officer cannot distinguish between his service weapon and a taser, I'm sorry. I don't have no forgiveness. I don't have no, they're never sorry. We're seeing that right now. Look at how arrogant. I don't know how many of you have been keeping up with the trial, but I've been trying to keep up with it. But I just want you to notice how cocky and arrogant in stature the murderer is, Chauvin, sitting there like he's also into it, taking notes and shit, like he's going to get up and say something, but showing no type of emotion at all, sitting there as if he knows he's going to get off. And now you have another situation that is going on right there within the same vicinity where a young man loses his life at the hands of another one of these damn cave killers. I'm just sick of these people doing us how they want to do us, and we're not reacting. We're not giving them for what we can give them, and it doesn't necessarily have to be physical, but you have to give what's given. And if somebody slaps you, you cannot kiss them on the cheek and think they're going to stop slapping you. Because if you they slap you and you hug them, they're going to slap you tomorrow and the next day and the next day, because they know ain't no repercussions, ain't no consequences. And see, that's what this system knows. That's what these punk police know. And that's why they keep doing the things that they do, because we don't stand up. We don't, black men, my brothers, and this is our job, to stand on the front line, what's behind us. And we got a lot of talent and a lot of intellect behind us. We got to give them an opportunity to grow, to mature. We're losing. We don't know what we're losing. We just know that we're losing daily. This is not something that's happening now once a month, you know, once every other month. And honestly, I saw a pattern that started after Trayvon Martin, and it seems like that particular trend since Trayvon Martin has just abstained. It's just snowballed. And like I say, you have just regular old bloats, Joe Smoes, you know, trying to tell us what we need to do. We see that on a regular basis. You know, that's what the with the Karens out here, you know, and honestly, the Karens are the ones that we need to watch, because I've spoke on this a few times, but they were the ones that in 1864, they had to create a law in Virginia called the Casual Killing Act, because white women were so mad that their husbands was laying with these black women and making these mixed babies that these white women would go out there to these slave quarters and beat the women and kill the babies. And they made laws like they do now, same shit they do now they did then. They made a law like they make laws to protect themselves. They made a law called the Casual Killing Act of Virginia. Google it. I think it was 1864, if I'm not mistaken, or 1684, but 1684, somewhere in there. But the Casual Killing Act of Virginia, Google that. And that's what that's about. And you have the same situation going on now with these Karens feeling entitled. And you know how white these white people, some of them get that sense of privilege and feel as if they can just tell anybody black what to do, or anybody that they feel is beneath them, they can direct them when they are the smartest dummies I know. And not all of them, because you can try to say I'm a racist, but I don't have the power to be racist. Thank God I don't. Thank Yah I don't. Yeah, because it would be a whole different scenario. I had a white nationalist call into my show, and like I told him, I cannot feel sympathetic nor empathetic for a man country was built and caters for. If you can't, you know, wade your way through the water in a country that was catered and built for you, that they will make a law for you. And that's what I'm saying. They make these laws, and pay attention to this, these Joe Biden. And I don't know if y'all have, if anybody's taking the time, but one of Joe Biden, one of the big things on his agenda as president is gun control. And now you see him digging all off into this, and I want y'all to pay attention to what they're going to do with this. That's why I'm telling all of you right now who are listening online and who are listening via phone, and I'm going to open the lines up here in just a minute. See, I got somebody want to get in, but gun laws. We're not the ones out here doing these mass shootings. I'm not saying that we have not done them, but in situations when we do them, it's usually with someone that that person knows. Now, there have been situations like with the ex-cop out in California who just went on a rampage against, he knew who and what they were, and I don't fault him for that. Rest in power. Because somebody needs to expose him. And the thing is just our inability to not stay together. And then we have never experienced our true power. We have never experienced freedom. No, we've never experienced any of that. And see, my thing is this. And I said this last night on my sister Nikki's show. I said that after you ask somebody for something more than three times, and this is just me and how I do, if I have to ask somebody something three times, I'm not asking us for it, begging. And we're begging this system to do what we can do for ourselves. It just takes a little bit of effort, just a little bit of effort. And not all effort consists of going outside and marching and doing all that. There's so many things that can be done behind the scenes and in the comfort of your own home, like keeping your damn money in your pocket, actually doing a boycott. If we could just do 300, take an inconvenience ourselves for 365 days, one turn around the sun, and keep our money and start using our money for ourselves, we would see a difference within our communities. We would be able to see a difference within our homes, within our financial statements, within our financial institutions. It's about having financial, economic backing. We have got to get literate to that. We've got to start practicing group economics. We've got to plan and organize with one another and stop letting little petty-ass things get in the way of progress. We're not going to always agree on everything. That's just not going to happen. As much as that would help things go smooth, we just got to start from scratch right now. I keep saying it's the perfect time to create new normals within our communities with like-minded individuals and build this true network that we need to build, this network of brothers. I want to see some brothers stepping up, doing what we need to do. Like I say, we got to take care of what's behind us, because see, in my house, everything is behind me. Only way that any harm comes to anything under my watch is if I succumb. But until I succumb, everybody and everything under my roof is protected till I stop breathing. And that's how I live, and that's how I feel about us. We have got to be that front line, brothers. We got to take care of everything that's behind us and give everything behind us the opportunity to get to where we are at. And a lot of our youth are not having the chance, not getting the opportunity to see 25, to see 21. Some of them don't even get to see 18. We got to do better. We got to stop these Dante Wrights from happening. And then there was a case that my sister was talking about on her show last night that I really, and I think a lot of people were in the dark about the young brother that got shot 76 times. And this happened back in 2016. And this is what I'm saying. We have got to be a network so that we can be our own informants. We can give each other the proper information, because there are so many incidents that happen that go under the radar. Because if mainstream media doesn't talk about it, a lot of the times we don't hear about it. And there's so many situations there have been times I've gotten in my inbox and people have sent me messages from things that are happening way up north, the way over on the East Coast, and it bothers me. Because, see, if we come together and stay together, we can shut that shit down. Believe me. Not don't believe me. Believe in yourself. Because that's really what it boils down to. We need each other. We got to start giving each other the benefit of the doubt. We got to start being each other's backbone once again. We got to start being each other's support system once again. We got to pick up the books and the lessons and the ways of the ancestors. We got to stop trying to do things their way and get back to doing things our way. The blueprint has been laid. It's time for us to revise the blueprint, people. That's all I'm saying. We need each other. We have got to recognize how much we need each other out here, brothers, my brothers. Oh, I'm specifically talking to my brothers because we the muscle. We the power. We the protection. We the leaders. We need to act as such. We need to provide our women, our children, our elderly, comfort and peace that they deserve, that we deserve. We need each other, y'all. It's time for us to realize that we can stop this madness. We can stop this bullshit like what's happening here in Aledo, Texas, at Aledo ISD, where they children find it amusing to have a slave auction and be auctioning off the black students in the high school. Kind of fuckery is that? What is wrong with us? Why do we allow this to keep happening? Not to us, but to our children as well. And like I said earlier, we don't teach our children to hate. We got to teach our children how to deal with that, though. We have got to give our children the knowledge. That's what's power, on how to deal with that kind of madness, because that's what they're going to be up against. And that's being taught in the home. Racism is a learned behavior. Nobody born that way. And we got to get off of some of the some. We got to stop being so docile. I mean, like I said, how many times you gonna let somebody slap you and you keep trying to hug them? You can't hug nobody that's gonna slap the shit out of you every damn day. You can't do that shit. I don't care how bad you want to hug him and show him love and all of that. If he don't want that, he gonna keep slapping you. He gonna slap you till he get tired. And this system ain't tired yet. It's time for us to make the system tired. Because obviously all we want to do is be left alone and be able to have our own. And like I say, we can do that shit without nobody's permission. All we got to do is get on code with that shit, start us, like I say, start from the bottom and work our way up and take care of those that are behind us. Plain and simple, plan, organize, unify, and a nation will follow because a nation is being built, period. So that is my opening rant. And I see I got a couple of people ready to jump in here. I'm going to take a quick break so we can get this ball rolling. I appreciate everybody who took the time to call in. I appreciate those who are listening online as well. This show here tonight is about you. It's about me. It's about us and what we need to do. What we need to do. We need to, like I say, this is really going to be my subject matter. I want to really just touch on this. What do we know? First, we got to start doing it. Action. We got to start putting it down. Because like I say, this hole we in ain't nothing. Our ancestors dug themselves out of holes on a consistent basis. You don't think that same resilience is in us? Look at us. We still here. And those of us who are still here, yeah, those are the bloodlines. Those are the bloodlines of those fighters, those warriors, those soldiers, those survivors. That's what's in us. we still here. We got to make sure that we bloodline strong. And not strong, strong. So I'm going to take a break. Like I say, I appreciate everybody calling in. Those who are listening online, call in numbers 914-205-5538. You are listening to The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. on the Panther Party Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Hello. We patterned our lives today after a caveman and after a cave woman that just crawled out of the caves and hills of Europe and walk around today with an attaché case smelling like Pierre Cardin and smelling like Uchi and Coochie and Gucci and all that other stuff. This is a caveman. He spent 2,000 years, she spent 2,000 years in the caves and hills of Europe. I'm still talking about the goddamn white man. Spent 2,000 years in the caves and hills of where? E-U-R-O-P-E. This man, Elijah Muhammad, and this man, Louis Farrakhan, they teach us that E-U means caves and hillsides. Europe, Eureka, you've heard the term. EU means caves and hillsides. Rope is self-explanatory. They were roped or bound or confined within the caves and hills of Europe for 2,000 years. And for 2,000 years, this blue-eyed devil crawled around on his all fours. He ate his meat raw. They ate each other even. They ate dogs. They ate anything. They take tree limbs and bust an animal in the head or drop a rock or a boulder on the animal and bust the animal in the head. Blood everywhere, all in the mangy, diseased fur of the animal. Drag the animal back to the cave. And the little baby devils and the medium-sized devils and the mama devil and the daddy devil and the uncle devil and the auntie devil and the cousin devil and the grandma devil and the grandpa devil, all of them within start biting on the nasty hair and fur of this dead, bloody animal lying right there in the cave. They didn't know anything about fire. Yeah, when they first discovered fire, they damn near ran off the cliff. Gee whiz, gee manini, what is that? Really, they couldn't make any, they couldn't even talk in those days. How many of you saw the movie Quest for Fire? Hold your black hands up. If you saw Quest for Fire. In Quest for Fire, you saw... But they tell you, you were a savage. They want you to believe that you were a savage. They walked around all in ooga booga. They're the ones that put the lie on us. But they were the ones who go, Einstein language and all kind of stuff. You could always talk. There's never been a time when you couldn't talk, black man. And we know it ain't never been a time when you couldn't talk, black woman. Sister got something to say. Because she's the first teacher. The children, the babies, they learn the language from her. They don't call it the father tongue. They call it the what? Why they call it the mother tongue instead of the other tongue? They call it the mother tongue because it is mother who fills them with the spirit of life. It is mother who inspires them, giving them inspiration and information that moves them along the course of life. And so they call it the mother tongue because the goddess is the one who breathes that life into them. Y'all still with me? We still talk about the goddamn white man.
Who taught you, please? Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask who yourself, who taught you to hate being what God gave you. We teach you to love the hair that God gave you. Here you are way out in the middle of the ocean, can't swim, and you worried about someone that's in the bathtub and can't swim. We don't steal, we don't gamble, we don't lie, and we don't cheat. And that also deprives the government of revenue. Because you can't get into a whiskey bottle without getting past the government seal. You can't open a deck of cards without getting past the government seal. Here's a white man makes the whiskey and then puts you in jail for getting drunk. He sells you the cards and the dice and puts you in jail when he catches you using them. So he's against us because we fix it where he can't catch you anymore. We take the dice out of your hands and the cards out of your hands and the whiskey out of your head. The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman. And as Muslims, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us to respect our women and to protect our women. And the only time a Muslim really gets real violent is when someone goes to molest his woman. We will kill you for our woman. I'm making it plain, yes. We will kill you for our woman. We believe that if the white man will do whatever is necessary to see that his woman gets respect and protection, then you and I will never be recognized as men until we stand up like men and place the same penalty over the head of anyone who puts his filthy hands out to put in the direction of our women.
All right, welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. Just listening to those words from those two brothers is inspirational to me. I appreciate everybody who is listening online, who called in. I thank you all for being patient. I do have a couple of calls, and I'm going to bring y'all right on in here. Thank y'all for being so patient. If you're listening online and would like to call in and listen and be a part of the conversation, call-in number is 914-205-5538, and you can press 1, and I'll see you in the host queue when I bring you in the order that you pressed, and I do have two waiting. All I ask that you do is, when you're done speaking, say what's on your mind. It's unfiltered. Say it how you feel it. Once you're done, just yield the mic and put your phone back on mute. I'll leave your microphone open so that we can keep the conversation flowing, and just feel free to jump in after anyone yields and no one else is speaking. So I'm going to just to let everybody know kind of what I was, just really an open rant. I was kind of pissed after I saw the news story here in Texas about these students at this well-to-do-ass fucking high school up in one of these old gentrified suburban areas in the DFW area here in Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth, for those of you who don't know what DFW means, but kind of touched on that particular situation and how they're trying to cause that cyberbullying and not what it really is. Also, the situation with Dante Wright, and I glazed over the George Floyd situation. I'm really waiting to see what becomes of that. Number 6896, your mic is open, and 7712, you are next, and 8680, you are next in line. But 6896, go ahead, your mic's open. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir, brother.
Yeah, I'm right along with you. I'm just tired, man. You know, peace and blessings to the young brother who just lost his life up there in Minnesota, and, you know, as well with his family. I'm going to be real. We as black people, we continue putting up with it, period, point blank. You know what I'm saying? There's no other group or race that goes through the different, I ain't even talking about all the other bullshit we go through, but just the killings, you know, they're killing our babies, they're killing our women, and it's getting to a point where we're being desensitized from it because we're seeing it all the time. So eventually, by you seeing it all the time, you're going to get to a point where it don't faze you. That's what they're trying to do. You know what I'm saying? Where killing a black man, killing a black woman, killing a black baby, it's every day. You know what I'm saying? So when you see it, you know, they trying to get to a point where it's the norm. You know, just with this, you know, pandemic, you hearing all these people talking about, well, we need to get back to normalcy. Well, what is normal? Because normal for me is you, you know, killing me in the streets. We're not talking about the economic, you know, suppression that we go through or the educational. That's a whole nother subject. But just in the streets, like this young man just died today. To piggyback off of what you were saying about, you know, the high school. I've been reading a couple of articles. Last week there was a woman, she made a young black boy, he was a baby, dig feces out of the toilet because the toilet was stopped up. I seen another article today where they fed, it was a kindergarten class, they fed the white children first, but then they fed the black children last. Okay, so what are we doing? What are we doing here? They're not, it's one thing, okay, yeah, you're going to go after the men or whatever, and I'm saying as a black man myself, we need to step up. We need to step up to the plate. You know what I'm saying? Like you were saying before I got on, but, you know, they're out here doing these things to our sisters. They out here doing this to our babies. You know, when is it going to be enough? And you know, and I hate to say it, be the bearer of bad news, but it's going to happen again because we ain't ready, period. It's going to happen again. You know, and what are you going to do? You going to sit around and sing Kumbaya and do a march, tear up your neighborhood? You know what I'm saying? What you know, these white supremacists, man, they're bullies. Like you were saying earlier, you can't slap somebody. Like you were saying earlier, they're bullies. They're the biggest bully in the high school or middle school or elementary school. You can't have a civilized conversation with these demonic people because they're demonic. They're bullies. You know what I'm saying? You can't connect on a human level that our people come from. So my thing is like this. Sometimes you got to fight things with violence, and I'm not a violent person. Okay, if you don't want to go down that route, I would say go this route, but we're not even there. Okay, everybody across the board, across the United States, pick out three or four major corporations where we ain't going to spend money for the next year. We can't even do that, man. And I'm not saying that everybody should be on board because you got them Sambo-ass niggas. You know, you got some, you know, the cool Sambo niggas, and then you got some other people. I'm not, you know, everybody can't be saved, man. You know what I'm saying? But those who want to, you know, open up your mind, open up, you know, your third eye, as they say, and try to understand how this world is going, let's connect and do something. Because I'm to the point, man, I'm just tired of talking. No disrespect to your radio show. I love your radio show. There's no disrespect for you or anybody else that's doing some stuff, but we're in a point of an emergency. We've been getting talked to since beyond the 60s. We can go back to Marvis Garvey. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
You know, we don't need no more leaders. We don't, you know, because look what they do to our leaders. We gotta start taking responsibility as a people. And individually, you got to be right before you can become a group. You dig what I'm saying? So, you know, man, like I said, it's no – go ahead.
I said we got to get on code with it. That's right.
Yeah, you know, we got to get on code, man. But, you know, us black folks, we don't have a code. Let's just keep it a buck. Everybody is individualized. Everybody wants to try to follow the white man. Everybody want to be laid up with the white man. Everybody want to live with the white man. We can't, you know what I'm saying? We the original folks, man. We the original people here. Come on now, what are we talking about? You know what I'm saying? Economically, yeah. We're so behind. We still, as parents, oh, I want my son to be a football player. I want my daughter to be a singer or an actress or something in the entertainment world. We don't need that, bruh. We don't need that. You know what I'm saying? We need. You see any other race that does that off the top? Off the top. And I'm not saying there ain't white people that's in the entertainment field or Asians or anything like that, but I'm saying we as black people, we expect our kids to jump to the entertainment field off the top, off the rip. I want to be a rapper. I want to be a basketball, football. I want to be, you know, in the movies. Man, come on, man. What about having businesses? You know, but like I said, we're so far behind economically. And then the Asians, I'm going to just touch on a little bit, and then I'll get off of here because I can be on here right. All night. But you know what I'm saying?
Stay
it's
on,
just
though,
like
stay
you were
on,
saying
though.
About
I'm
the Asians.
I'm going to open up these other mics after you get done. Stay on, though. Just mute your phone.
Okay, but like you were saying about the Asians, man, like you were saying about the Asians. All that is propaganda, and if people can't see that, I don't know what is. Black people, let's just take an example. Bruce Lee. Black people are the ones that prompted Bruce Lee to stardom, to where he is or where he you know, was as a actor, a martial artist. Then white people wasn't fucking with him like that because they were mad he was fucking that white bride. His Asian folks had his back in the motherland, but... You know, like, you know, I'm talking about over here in the United States, it was black folks, man. Black people always had a reverence for Asians, always. There's a little chick in the hood. What's her name? Asia, China Doll, something like that. You know what I'm saying? Black people always had reverence for Asians. But then the Asians, look at the past couple of years, our women, why they keep messing with them Asians, I don't understand. But it's a whole big deal with that hair industry that I won't get into. But just to keep it simple, they getting beat up in the damn hair salons and hair shops and nail shops, getting locked in, beat up, whatever the case, you know what I'm saying? But the women still keep, you know, spending their money with them. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, there got to be a point where enough is enough. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, I'm not saying that we don't need to have these type of conversations, but having these conventions and black conventions and the, you know, the town hall meetings, man, come on, man. Look, we ain't got it by now. This is 2021. We've had the most powerful leaders than any other race in the world. We've had Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey. We've had Martin Luther King. We've had numerous, on and on and on. You know what I'm saying? That tried to show us a way. Look what happens to them. Either they get killed or they go to jail or both. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, we don't need no more leaders. We got to start with self. We got to be responsible for what the fuck we do. Come on, people. We got to be responsible. You know what I'm saying? And if you ain't trying to be responsible, then I don't need you. Miss me with that. Go with your white daddy or white mommy then. Other than that, I need people who's going to roll with me. But this is, like I said, to bring it all back, this going to happen again because we ain't ready, man. If you ain't going to say it, I'll say it for everybody. It's going to happen again. I hate to say it, but it is, period.
No doubt. I appreciate you calling in, brother. Appreciate you calling in. I got another call I'm going to bring in. 7712, I think I know that number right there. I'm opening up your mic now. 8680, I see you. You next in line, 5396. I see you. You are next in line. Peace, my brother Mark. Am I right?
Peace, brother. What's good?
Peace. How you doing, brother?
All powerful to the people. Good to hear you. I'm really disturbed with the subject matter tonight. I wasn't. It's been last week was really full because I just got back in the full swing of things at the ballpark, so I've been inundated with work. And then as soon as I turn on the news today, I see young brother Wright getting murdered by the police, and it was just talking about yesterday how. You know, there's not a week that goes by, and here we have at the very beginning of the week the same thing.
Yep.
And like Brother Man was just talking about, you know, when he said, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, and he's right, it's going to happen again relatively in short order. So that was rather disturbing. And then to also learn, as you spoke on it, I looked it up in Aledo, Texas. That bullshit about an online slave auction with the black students.
Yes,
what
sir.
Is that?
Believe it or not, 2021, brother, Texas.
Yeah, and that's in the Dallas area, right?
Mm-hmm. That's one of those little suburban gentrified areas that they putting together. They building a whole lot of around the metroplex right now. Out in these little outlying areas, they building them up out there now, and that's one of those areas, you know, that they went to. Didn't think that none of us was gonna have enough money to follow them out there. You know how they do. I'm all for the gentrification that they doing because can't nobody coexist with them anyway. But back to you, can go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you out.
No, you're good, bro. You know that. And I'm just wondering what the accountability factor, who's being held accountable, with parents and what section of the school board is being held accountable for this.
Well, there is a school board meeting that's happening, I think they said, on next Monday. So I look for that particular meeting to be packed. And I'm looking for somebody like Merritt or the other one to pop up because that's going to be a money case. No doubt about that.
Yeah, and I read also that some parents say that in the past that the district board has not done enough as far as the online game when the online game was discovered previously. So this had been going on unbeknownst to someone knew that this shit was going on and
exactly.
Let it continue.
Yeah, exactly. And that's my thing because it actually made the news here today. And I was like, what? And that's when I Googled it so I could read a little bit about it, you know. But that is disturbing. And that's why I say, you know, racism is taught, you know. So you got to look at where they coming from and then where did they come from, you know what I'm saying, for it to be that entrenched in their children. It's got to be coming from both parents. And see, that's the problem.
Yeah, well, these things are suddenly these kind of events don't seem to be watershed or isolated incidences, considering it, especially in the last year where we've seen other events like this happening in schools throughout the country. Not only that, but other disgusting, as the brother mentioned earlier about bringing up the little big 5-year-old boy to rummage through his own feces. That kind of thing has been happening over the last year, or maybe it's been happening and it's now just being recorded, or, you know, I don't think these are such isolated incidences. I think that there's just more exposure, you know, everything. There's a hot mic and a hot camera everywhere. So, and then you got snitches too. So, and
yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So, also with that said, and I'm sure I will discuss that further on the show tomorrow night. Also, but first I should say I'd be remiss if I didn't offer peace and condolences and comfort to the Wright family. That shit was brutal. No matter what the fuck the warrant was, even if it was an outstanding warrant for whatever the case was, didn't deserve a death sentence. She did not have the right to execute him like that. And is this the first time that we've ever heard that a taser was mistaken? I mean, that a service gun was mistaken for a taser? I don't think that's the first time. So,
not at all.
And then the distinction and the difference between the goddamn gun is so vast, not to mention the damn color and the weight.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And if you're holding the damn thing in your hand, you can see, you're looking down the...
Yeah,
you can tell whether or not you got the goddamn taser in your hand. Miss me with that bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm not going for it. Especially, you know, I mean, that's such a convenient excuse. So therefore, you know, that's their accountability. I have an excuse. And the police union up there is catching hell as it is. They may, in that part of the country, they may just throw her under the bus. They may make an example out of her because of all the pressure that's going on. I don't think that this is. Oh man, this is going to be an interesting case to compound what else is going on up there in Hennepin County. So I'd also be remiss without mentioning local news. I don't know if you're aware of there've been 30 people shot since Friday night in Chicago. And you're talking earlier about creating a new norm. I think that this would be we have a tremendous opportunity right now to forge that new norm by setting up, as you said, as we talked about before, multilateral communication so we can stave off, or at least, you know, at least for emergency purposes, but for every other aspect as well. We need this to step up, and like you said, we need the brothers. We need the brothers to be leaders, to be thinkers, to be creators, to be cultivators of this in order for it to get off the ground, in order to forge this new norm that to me, brother, I know that's a reality. It's not a notion. Fucking reality. And it has to happen. Like Brother Man was saying, we got to be responsible for us. And as you say, we need the brothers to come together and forge this new norm, create this new culture, and trying to raise ballers and actors and rappers. We need engineers, doctors, attorneys, so we can turn the tide, so we can get some measure of power, of independence, in order to create that independent nation, that sovereign, independent nation. But we got to forge that new norm. Got to start somewhere, and it's got to start there. With that, I yield. Good show, brother. Peace.
Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you. Always, always. Yeah, that new norm to me is important because, I mean, to me, that incorporates everything being normal and just getting back really to the basics and the grassroots of all of this. And that's why I say it's important for us to talk amongst one another, because not everybody feels the way we feel. But when you find and connect with brothers that got that same spirit that you have, that's when you know you got to stay linked with those types of individuals, brothers, sisters, no matter who they are or where they are. Because, like I say, we need people on this level everywhere. And we got to build networks for that. All right. Thank you for being patient. 5396 and 8680. Thank you for being patient. You are next in line. 5396. Mic's open. Thanks for calling.
Hello.
Peace.
Hello.
Link, please.
Can you hear
peace.
Me?
Yes. Yes.
Hey, brother. How you doing?
All right. How you doing?
Doing good, doing good. I'm just sitting here listening. Man, so I don't even know to start. I don't know if I want to start with what I can agree on or what's going to piss some of y'all off. And to be honest with you, excuse my friends, because I'm working on it. Because profanity is so unladylike to me. So what's going to piss some off? I don't give no fucks. I came here alone. I'm going to leave here alone. But as far as I start with what I agree with, about us as a whole, as people. We definitely have some issues. We can't expect anybody, any other persons walking this earth to have respect for us when it's really hard for us to show respect for ourselves. I was sitting here thinking as I was listening to the first brother who got on, I was thinking how we have a big problem within our family structure. As he was talking, I was thinking about white people. And how a lot of them, hatred is buried so deep in them, and how that starts from home with them. And I'm thinking how that's the opposite of what they're teaching or what they've been taught that's been instilled in them. We should be instilling in our children in home early, young. You know, they should be instilled to taught to love themselves, to taught to respect each other. When I was growing up, I was born in the 80s. You know, that kind of stuff was instilled in me. When I was growing up, if I did something three blocks away, by the time I came home, my grandma knew about it. You know what I mean? It wasn't if I did something, my grandma getting into it with somebody because they said something to me. No, ma'am. Whoever said something to me, they told my grandma, and she gonna handle me when I get around the corner, too. It's just we all just so divided as a people. For one, the community's not the same. That's probably why 30-some people, I don't know if in Chicago, if it's a us on us thing that 30-some people have died already, if in, you know, cop killings or what, but it's Chicago, so, I mean, I wanted to ask, but, my mic wasn't open, but anyways, it's a big problem that we have in this generation here that's moving around now. It's horrible, and I feel bad because I feel like it's our generation that's raising them, you know, and where did we drop the ball? But, that also leads me to say, I just, while we were sitting on this phone, watched the body cam video. Okay? I had not watched it up until I was sitting here listening to you guys talk about it because I'm really over it. you know, I'm hearing everybody say, you know, it's going to be another. Of course it's going to be another. It's always another. I mean, it's it's not funny. I laugh because it's so crazy to me that it's been another for centuries. You know, it's not, I disagree with brothers saying they're trying to normalize it. It's been normalized. It was legal at one point. Now on paper, it's illegal. It still seems legal because nobody's penalized for killing us but us. Shoot, Junebug, shoot, Mike, he might go to jail for 5 to 10 years, but Officer So-and-so killed Lil' Chris, he get off. You know what I mean? But for a long time, for years, just some decades ago, just some decades ago, you do what you want. This is your nigga. You beat him, you kill him, you do whatever. You beat her, you rape her, you do whatever. You had that right. You know, even after that, before civil rights, you could do whatever you want to do to this nigga. And, I mean, oh, well, who's going to jail for it? So it's been normalized. It's been normalized. But watching that video, and this is where I'm going to probably piss somebody off, but as I said in the business conversation on this, I have no fucks to give about it because a part of my problem with a lot of us is we fail to take accountability. And because of that, that also, to me, plays a part in us not being able to move forward from where we are. Because my purpose and my mission is to help us get ahead, not simply by going along to get along, but going along and trying to also teach our children and everybody else who don't know right what's right and what's wrong. Because I seen an error in that video, and to me that error was, I don't know what took place, what caused for this arrest, but I was talking to my cousin right before we got this call. Brother Kevin texted me and told me you were having a show. So I was like, you know, right. I said, okay, I'll go ahead and call in, you know what I mean? I know he got his stuff going on, so I told him I was going to go ahead and call.
No doubt.
So I was talking to my cousin when he beat in, and, you know, she was saying she has a son. She's 21 years old, and she's like, you know, I've always told Kyrie, I don't give a damn what's going on, whether you right or you wrong, side, because what I don't want to do is get a call and my son has been murdered. You know what I mean? She's like, I will handle that. She's like, you go ahead and handle your business. If you ever get pulled over, because once you in cuffs or once they have you surrounded, what can you do? You are defenseless. You have, even though it's not right, you are defenseless. You here with these people without a gun, without anything. These people have guns and everything else. I'll come down and we'll handle it. But I'd rather see you alive than not. And then there are cases where we have seen people go peacefully, and they still not live to see it. We have George Floyd. We've seen Fruitvale Station. But looking at this video, that is not what I see. I don't know what this baby purpose was in getting back in his vehicle, and Lord knows I hate that this child lost his life. But why he was jumping back in his vehicle like he was, and why, all I heard was somebody screaming. When she screaming, tasing him, and then when that bullet, when that gun went off, and she said, I shot him. And he pulled off. Now, I don't know. Had he not jumped in that car or attempted to jump in that car, would he have been shot? I don't know. But I do feel, like I said, I don't care who get mad about it, but I wonder if he would have lost his life if he had not pulled that move.
Right. We can only wonder.
Like I said, I don't care who feel what way about it. I have no fucks to give about that. Because also, in us teaching and educating ourselves, we also have to teach each other and our children how to use common sense. Because some situations, George Floyd, some situations like, now that was just totally fucked up. I'm in handcuffs. I am on the ground. There is nothing I can do. I am totally defenseless. You have no right to do me like you're doing me.
Because there was another situation with the young man up in Ohio that happened last summer, if I'm not mistaken, you know, where he was running from the police and then he got out of his car and took off running and he lost his life, you know. But
right.
After watching that video.
Just because you run, you deserve to die. I don't
believe yeah,
that,
yeah,
Michael
exactly.
Brown.
Exactly.
Don't
oh, yeah,
I don't
no doubt.
Be misunderstood but, because people,
oh, yeah.
I think you know,
I
when we come with a
though.
Broad audience of people, everybody might not understand
oh,
what
yeah.
you're saying. What I'm saying is,
oh, yeah, no doubt. I understand where you're coming from.
I came around yeah. I'm raised, you understand. But everybody who ever listening might, and I can't allow my anger for how and what's being done to my people for so long to make me have a one-track mind in a situation. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, no doubt.
The situation not the same. You know what I mean?
No doubt.
I can't look at this situation and say, oh, this white bitch just wanted to kill this black man, this baby. You know, I can't look at this situation and say that. Not in this situation, which makes me feel some type of way, because then here we go have this George Floyd situation going. So now the detention taken away from me temporarily. So this for a situation that honestly probably could have been avoided. For the situation to come along and something happens that's another George Floyd, but it's not taking it seriously because, oh, well, that last time, y'all remember what happened. So what I say that to say this, there are some situations that just, come on now. It makes me feel, and there's a lot of situations like this. There's plenty. We have so many police brutality, police killing incidents where it goes either or ways, where they are dead wrong, and then there's, okay, we were wrong. And those we were wrong situations make me so mad because it's so hard to fight for these they are wrong situations. Because Lord knows these they are wrong situations trump our we were wrong situations by so many numbers. But all it takes is, but it's so much harder for us to get a win. It could have, if we could have one we were wrong situation, they have to have 10 stacked up against our one for anybody to even pay attention to say, oh, okay, you know, it's all that way. It was that number. Remember this happened. I don't care, but you have this many bodies, this many sons, fathers, nephews, brothers stacked up against this one death that was justified because this one black man decided to grab a gun or decided to hit a gas cell and run over police. But you got all these bodies stacked up that were completely innocent, helpless, defenseless, unarmed. And that's my issue with situations like this. Is all I'm saying. So now people are rioting. So now you out here rioting, nigga, over what? I never see the purpose in that. Period. I mean, you want some free goods, by all means, have that. Go ride the right stuff. go ride and loot from the right people. And I'm on the fence about them, too, because being real, I have an Asian friend. Lord Jesus, I'm almost 40. I'll be 40 this year. This woman been in my life since I was 16 years old. She started off doing my nails. You know what I mean? Is she mouthy? Yes, she is. And God, honest the truth, her mouth is so smart. I'm surprised she haven't had a butt whooped a time or two. She has a really smart mouth. That is a love-hate relationship that has been going on between black and Asian, especially when they're within our community, since all of eternity. And I don't know about you, but I am from the middle of, smack in the middle of hood. Well, you know, it depends on where you're from. It may be Arabs. And it may be Asians. Where I'm from is Asians. And how dare I'm not about to let anybody come in the midst of my community and try to, look, we good. We have our issues. I might come in your store, you get smart, fuck you, bitch, and keep going. And I'll see you tomorrow. I might come in your store, let me get this. I'll holler at you tomorrow. And, hey, okay, I can run up a tab in your store. We good. I'm not going to let no white person play this, and this on the TV and make it feel like we got a problem. Now we good. You've been rooted in this community forever. We do what we do. If I send somebody there to get something for me and they short, you're going to let them get it. They'll bring you my money back to you. We good. If I feel like I want something and I send somebody up there who ain't got the cash right now, you going to give me my food to me. We good. I'm not going to let you cause any more decisions that I don't need. That might not be everybody's story, but that's my story. I can't speak to everybody. You know, but, I mean, now I do feel that I do feel like this now. There's some black family that's opened a hat store in my city. It does puzzle me, and I can't figure out why. They don't generate as much business as, I don't know if it's because they've been rooted there so long or maybe, I don't know, because it's just as big and they have just as big of a selection. I don't understand why they haven't started generating as much business as the Asian hair store that's been there forever. You know, certain stuff like that I look at and I think about. But, I mean, outside of having issues like that, I don't see it. I think it's just regular stuff that's been going on every day, and for whatever reason, for whatever their motive is or what, I don't know, they're taking something and blowing it out of proportion. I don't feel like there's anything going on more so than what's been happening. I don't know, like, that's just me. I could be wrong. Like I said, I mean, I've seen a little fight here and there between people, but nothing to where it was just downright, oh, these people are just being attacked like this. I haven't witnessed it. I've seen, grew up in the same neighborhood for 19 years. Never witnessed. Nobody has ever robbed this store. Like I said, you might not have seen somebody get their face slapped because of their mouth, like I said, and it's usually people who maybe not from my neighborhood. They just, you know, they coming through. Hey, they stopping at my store. You don't know these people because people from the area, you know, you, like I said, they'll cut you out and keep going. They're used to you. Now you have people pass through that. You might pop off and say the wrong thing to them, and they're going to reach across the counter and slap your face. But to the extent that they're making it, that the media is making it, I have never seen it. And it could just be, like I said, because now everything is publicized, because we've become so, everything must be recorded, everything must be put on display. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But, and it's the Texas thing, that's new to me, too. I've been fasting from the news and stuff. So, y'all have to pardon me. I took 2 weeks vacation. I said I was fasting. I was getting a little depressed, so I decided not to keep up for a minute.
Yeah, I do the same thing because I get so burned out at times because every time you read, you might read one good story out of 9 or 10.
Right.
Of them, and it does burn you out just a little
in this
bit.
World.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah,
I got another brother who's been waiting to get on. I'm going to bring him on too.
Okay.
But hang with me. Sisters, don't go nowhere. I'm going to leave your mic open. I'm going to bring this brother on. I know this number. This is my brother, Dre. Peace, brother. Your mic is open. Thanks for calling in tonight.
Peace to the family, brother, and condolences to my brother, Kevin, for what he's going through, and condolences to the Wright family who lost a father. Not only a son, but they lost a father to a young child. I don't care what it said. There's no reason that young man should be dead, period. And that's why the people are rioting. So I disagree with my sister. There's no reason the young man should be dead. You know, if that so-called pig is a professional, then she should know the difference between a taser and a gun. Now, these are the level of cops that you're hiring in your neighborhood. And when I looked at the riot, the beginnings of the riot, all I saw was white faces on the side of the cops. That's all I saw was white faces. I didn't see not one black cop on in riot gear. I didn't see not one black cop. That's a problem. And as for the whole Asian aspect, your experience is not the experience of us as a whole. The Asians have taken from the black community since they've gotten here, and they've given nothing back, the issue. We're involved in a propaganda scheme by the media and the government to basically propagandize killing black people by any means necessary. And if some of us are here and willing to die a peaceful death, while some of us are here ready to stand up and be warriors. And we don't need everybody. We need a select few with power. People need to get their money right. People need to get their credit right so that we can start to make moves. We don't need everybody. It's a fantasy if we think that we're going to get everybody on our same mindset as the warriors and warriors that are on this line. It's a fantasy. We're not going to get everybody. And we need to stop worrying about getting everybody. My whole thing is that, you know, with everything that's being done right now, people are on edge. I've seen in the past 48 hours, I've seen a black girl get jumped and sexually assaulted by a white supremacist. It's white cargo van season, people. Y'all better be aware. They kidnapped this 16-year-old black girl, and they raped her and threw her out on the street like she was trash. The brother over in L.A., who you move away from black people to feel like you're safe, but you get arrested for taking your trash out. And then you holler and help to your white girlfriend who can't save you. And you wondering why you getting locked up by the cops. Because they know you and they know that you with a white woman. Nigga. And that's what I said, nigga. Because that's what you are. Because you know why you moved away from that white neighborhood and got with that white girl thinking that she was going to save you from white supremacy. Let me say that you can't run from it because it's global. You can't go over to Africa. You can't move anywhere. White supremacists is a global system. And if you haven't noticed, it's practiced like a religion. You think white women aren't teaching their children about how to hate black folks? They're the first teachers, right? Mothers are the first teachers, right? Now, you teach your children about war, and you expect us to teach our children about turning the other cheek in peace. Fuck that. I raised my children to be warriors.
That's
you
right.
Can't
you
run from it. I bet you, I'm willing to bet every black man on this phone line has a story about being pulled over by the cops and having them pull their guns on you. I'm willing to bet you. I have that story. I have a few stories like that. Mistaken identity.
Yeah,
moments where I could have been killed. It happens to every black man, and I'm pretty sure a few black women out here. They handcuffing 5-year-old boys. They start young. They start us when they're young. So I'm just here to say that it doesn't matter where you try to go, where you try to escape it, you're not going to escape it. My thing is that it's time to get our money right. It's time to grab a few good men and women and put our heads together and start digging our people out of this hole. Slavery didn't end because somebody wrote something on a piece of paper because of emancipation. The United States Army was getting their ass kicked by those who wanted to be free. Always remember that. We fought. They don't tell you that, but we was fighting. When the slaves and the Seminoles got together in the South, oh, we was fighting. We was giving them problems. That's why they had to end it, because at the end of the day, white people realized they was outnumbered. So they had to end it. So that's how we're going to have to end Dred Scott 2.0. It's no longer Jim Crow. We done with Jim Crow. We back to Dred Scott, because now they're blaming you for defending yourselves.
Yep.
If you insult an Asian person, you can go to jail now. These are the laws that passed. If you insult an Asian person. Now, why hasn't that been done for black people? We've been insulted for 400 years. They've never passed a law defending us who are indigenous to this country. We are the most mistreated. We're on the bottom of the economic pole. They've never passed a law to protect us. That's the bottom line. Keep that in mind. They've never passed a law to protect us. Claim civil rights all you want. Civil rights has no equality to human rights. Where's our human
Damn.
Rights? And on that idea.
Yeah, I can agree. It's definitely a time to not cower down. And like you said, yeah, it's time for us like-minded individuals to really get on something that's solid. I know that we listening on this particular network tonight are not the only ones that are tired of seeing the same things happening. You said something I wanted to ask you about because I hadn't heard about the situation that did this happen up around the D.C., Maryland area with the kidnapping.
I think that was in North Carolina, brother. I think that was in North Carolina.
North Carolina.
I'll have to check. But also in I think in Arizona, there was a black couple that just had a gun pulled on them by a white man wearing an All Lives Matter shirt. And the black wife was scared to call the police because she was afraid that they would come in there and shoot her husband, her black husband. And the white man was the perpetrator. So they had to hold that man there until the police came. The wife didn't want to even let the police in the house. Where they was having a business meeting, and this guy brandished a weapon at them, and they were able to grab him and hold him. And you know they're not even charging this as a hate crime. And the guy got out of jail at 4:38 in the morning. So he can go do more damage. And I want people to pay attention that if you look at some of these mass shooters, they've all had issues with law enforcement at some point in time. And they end up getting let out of jail to basically go out and they end up committing more crimes. Just like the white dude that killed the Asian woman in Atlanta, which they've conveniently swept under the rug. But they want to talk about blacks attacking Asians. I've talked to some Asian people that I didn't even know, and they told me it's bullshit. Mm-hmm. It's not like that. I get what my sister is saying, but I disagree with her on a lot of points. Because the black stores in your area aren't doing well because we as black people aren't supporting them. We're not going to their stores.
Right,
and that's the wrong way to be. My thing is, if I have a choice between a white store, a black store, and an Asian store, I'm going to always go to my black people first because I'm black first.
Right.
And I think that's a mindset that we should all have. And it's love that I say this. You know, we can disagree and still love each other, but my thing is that I get what you're saying. That's your life. That's the way that you've grown up. Or that's the way that you've been or that you've lived. I get it.
Now, I personally,
but my thing is that,
I shop with black-owned businesses around me that offer what I need. But what I'm saying is, personally, around me, what I experience, I can't say that I've seen no black-owned Asian violence. You cuss them out, they might cuss you out.
You're right.
But that's
right.
About
I haven't
far
seen
as
it
go.
Either.
I don't see that crap go on that they're saying, portraying on the media. And what I feel like that is I think it's a counterattack for Black Lives Matter, that because it's becoming such an uproar, and whoever don't like this either or not, there are a lot of white people who, I guess because it's so publicized, who starting to look at that and be like, that really happens? So I work in a store where I did work. This is my last week, thank God, because I've been thriving off them. I got what I needed out of them to get my own business started, and I'm up and I'm out now. But I was the only black person in this store. The only black person in this store. So to sit around this many white people all day, every day, and listen to them and the things that they did not know, there's still one that I just gave up hope on, because what you do not know and don't experience, you can't see past. She older, so I let her have that. She would never. That's just her mindset. It is what it is. The rest of them I'm looking at and listening, and as things have went on these past couple years and the things that's happening, they have no idea. They didn't know this and this happens or this goes on. Yeah, it does. Stuff happens outside of your world. See, for y'all, fortunate enough for me, I can look at things and I can see all. I can look in and I can embrace and accept and try to understand another person's side of stuff before I just kind of because fortunate for me, I've been able to experience all growing up. Yes, I was born and raised in this hood, but my grandmother, unfortunately, was mistaken enough for one of those people to think she was offering me better by putting me in a school with all white people. They don't understand. That don't help. You're taking me out of my natural environment, which, okay, culturally, you're not offering me nothing because white people have nothing to offer culturally. Everything they have comes from us. You put me in a place
that's
to
true.
Make me have
even,
to fight
even
harder
their,
to.
Even
true.
Their martial arts.
You put me in a position now to have to fight harder to find my identity. Because I know for a fact I don't fit in here. And that's just me. I've never been one of those people. If I don't feel it, this is not me and I'm not vibing here, I'm not going to alter who I am to fit here. At work, I am just that black girl. I don't have an ulterior. I am amongst my white friends, and I do call them friends. I am just that. I am the real black girl in this clique. They don't have an almost black girl. This is what you get. I am black this, that, and all day long. So much that they confused not knowing if they black or not. I teach them. I teach their children because you will know. You will respect black people. You dealing with me. You know, even if you don't like black people, you gonna hide it really well around me. But, you know, you put people in a position in, and I get it. She comes from that generation where when you around black people, you got to think, you know how it goes. We beat each other up so bad. You see the white people beat us up so bad, so why do you feel like I'd rather be beat up? That's like being in my house. I'll fight with my sister and my brother all day long. I'd rather fight with them than go outside and have to fight with somebody on the street. So why do you think it's going to be so much better for me on the other side? It's twice as bad. It's twice as bad because
it causes,
you put me in a position.
Ultimately, us trying to assimilate with their society, it causes mental issues. And I want everybody, if you get a chance, go watch the TV program Them. It's powerful and it's hurtful at the same time. And it's about a black family who is the first black family to move into a white neighborhood. And I want you all to watch that. And it has a lot of historical facts in it about redlining, about how our soldiers were treated when they came back from the war, about how we have to deal in the workplace, about how we have to deal being the first black going to an all-white school. And ultimately, it causes mental issues. There's a powerful scene and a hurtful scene in that where white people kidnap a black baby and they kill the black baby. And that was really hard and emotional for me to watch because just the emotion and the anger that welled up within me. This is historical fact. They used to feed our babies to alligators.
Alligators, yeah.
They used to use our babies for alligator bait. So if you get out here and you're thinking that they care about what happens to you, you have another thing coming. They don't care about you. They don't care about you. As for the murders going on up in Chicago, I mean, if you put people in an economic position where they're like rats in a cage, what do you think is going to happen? And that's how I look at Chicago. People up there are being treated like rats in a cage, and it's a big experiment to them. And if you know how gentrification works, then, you know, you get the picture. They want to get rid of the black community in Chicago so they can move white people back in because that's where all the resources are, and it's in the inner cities. The resources are in the inner cities. So pay attention, black people, because they want you out. And if you look around the country at any big metropolitan area, you will see where gentrification is going on. And they're pushing black people out to the outer suburbs where it's harder to get to the resources. That's what this boils down to. Why are they giving $15,000 plus dollars to immigrants, illegal immigrants in New York City? And we ask for reparations. They say, well, we ain't got the money. But they just put $5 billion into a fund to pay illegal immigrants $15,000 because they were impacted by the pandemic. That makes me want to become an illegal immigrant now. Oh, I can get 15 grand?
That's true, my brother. That's absolutely true, because they're trying to have these illegal immigrants. They're trying to undermine black folks. That's what it's all about.
Right.
Not only about with the voting, but, you know, like, we keep bringing it back to an economic base, and maybe, Melvin, one day you can have a show, if you haven't already had one, where we can just talk about the economics within our community. I don't even want to say we got communities, but neighborhoods and abroad. But, yeah, brother, I totally agree with you on that, you know, what you're saying on that. And since you made some good points, too, I just want to say, as far as how we act towards the police, I do believe with my sister here that we don't need to be acting a fool, cussing out the police. If the police say don't get in the car, don't get your ass in the car.
Right.
You know,
do what,
you know, do what you got to do, you know what I'm saying, and try to live to fight another day.
You
know, don't try to bring it on, you know, don't bring it upon yourself.
But
so I do agree with my brother and my sister right there.
And like I said,
no,
I
feel you, brother.
No,
I feel you.
I'm not saying
but,
that baby
but,
deserves
you know,
to die by no means necessary. But what I am saying, and I still stand by this, there is a thing called accountability. There are certain things we do. That's like getting in a car, drinking and driving, and taking a risk of knowing you might crash this car. I don't care. I hate that for that man's children, for that man's family. I hate that with everything in me. I don't care.
They're saying
trying to lose their life, especially prematurely. But
they're
as
saying
a,
that
man,
they
well,
that young man.
The whole
old,
thing
he
is,
had
in my
air pressure coming from his mirror. That's why they pulled
him
over.
He had his registration was expired on his car is why they pulled him over. That's what I read. And then on top of that, he had a warrant, and that's why they arrested him. From the news story, the news clip that I read, I think it was New York Times I Googled. But still, I mean, you know, because this is just my thoughts, and I mean, I can agree to disagree, and I get my sister's point. The thing is, we've seen so many cases. We saw so many cases where, you know, people have complied, and people still, you know, lose their lives. I think the real big thing is really, and this is just the big thing for me, is that it just keeps happening so conveniently.
Right.
For the least little thing that we do, because I've saw video after video after video of white men. Matter of fact, there's a video out right now that I saw earlier today where a Hispanic guy shot a cop, killed him on the side of the highway. And got back in his pickup and drove off. I've saw so many videos where they can get these white men who have a knife or who have a gun. They talk them down. They don't kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And you know
well,
that's.
Did you see
you know,
the one in Virginia, bro? Did you see the one in Virginia
say,
with the military guy that got pulled over and got.
The African-Hispanic dude.
He was complying,
he
right?
Black.
He was complying.
Yes.
He was
yes.
complying.
Still got pepper spray.
And they're talking about they pulled him over because they couldn't see his paper tag in the window, which I agree, the window is dark. But even on the video, I could see the paper tag in the window.
Yeah.
You see that it was a brand new car.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
You know,
I mean, I agree with what all of y'all are saying. But even like up here in Colorado where I'm at, look at what happened the other week where the cat, you know, he wasn't, let's say, white per se, but in my opinion, you white, you considered white by law. He went into the King Supers, which is a grocery store, and killed up everybody, you know, and then shot up, you know, and killed the cop. They took him, you know, without incident. So I get what everybody's saying. I get what my sister's saying. I get what y'all two brothers are saying. We are getting kicked, but we got to understand though when we do get stopped by the police. We got to understand that, look, it's against us. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying that we should act a fool or not, but, you know, at the same time, we do need to understand that, you know, everybody understands we're getting treated differently. That's just period point blank.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, try to fight another day, you know what I'm saying? Because it's not going to help that you laid up in the morgue or up in the ICU, you know what I'm saying? And I'm looking up on CNN, you know, a little bit, which I don't really like that network, but I'm just watching what's going on. It's another, you know, out here rioting. Why are you doing it in your own neighborhood? You know what I'm saying? Let's go out to these white people's neighborhoods and start rioting. You know what I'm saying? Tearing down more black businesses or you know. Exactly. So,
I guess they don't care.
Yeah,
but
you
I'm
know what I'm saying?
Saying
so,
like
you know, it's just, I mean, you know, like I agree, though, we are getting targeted. Ain't no question about that. And we're getting stopped on some BS. Cause I remember when I was younger, I would get, you know, I had what they call a gangster car, a Chevy Impala. And I would get stopped. Mm-hmm. One time I got stopped three times in a two-block radius. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, dude, your other officer just stopped me. Oh, well, well, you need to check that out. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, you know, so it's a touchy subject.
I want to tell Brother Melvin and all of the people that participate in the Panther radio station that I appreciate you all's broadcast because it's basically it's propaganda against the propaganda that's coming against us, and that's why we're
ain't no doubt
to get on this platform and speak about things because if I were to call a white radio station, they would hang up on me.
True.
They won't listen.
No doubt about that.
That's part of their propaganda. So these platforms are appreciated that we can call up and we can get some things off of our chest. Now, I caution people on, you know, spilling their plans on these type of platforms. I think that if you really have a plan, then we should really get together underground, you know.
Okay,
and
we
make
need
those
a secret
plans.
Service number for
because,
that.
Because we always know that they're listening. And my whole thing is that, you know, I just wanted to say that I appreciate our anti-propaganda against the white media's propaganda that they're spilling out on us on a daily basis. And I get you have to take a break from the broadcast news, quote unquote, because it does get depressing if you think about it. And a lot of these news stories I get from the internet because the internet is not filtered like our regular news is. They'll talk about stuff and what they're not telling you about the black man in Virginia that got harassed and assaulted is that's a sundown town.
Mm.
They're not telling you that. That's a sundown town.
Yeah.
That's why they pulled him over.
They still exist.
That's why he drove to a lighted area.
I mean, I was supposed to say
so
it's a black
they could
man.
See everything. Yeah, because if he had stopped on the dark world, he'd be dead.
2021, there is still a sundown town.
They're all over. They're still here in America. Trust.
Yeah, they still exist.
There are towns where you better not catch your black ass in this town when the sun goes down.
There's a road called Lick Skillet Road.
Yeah, and they won't discuss that. They won't discuss that in the white media.
All right, brother.
These sundown towns do exist. I yield.
Peace, family. It's Brother Kevin. I've been listening a little bit. I'm sorry I'm late. I'm glad everybody did call. Appreciate y'all. Listen, I'm going to say this real quick because right now I'm really, like, deep in my emotions right now, so I'm going to just say it straight out what it is, okay? When somebody comes to your home and they attack you at your home, what's the first thing you do? You fortify your home, right?
Yeah.
Why ain't we thinking that way about ourselves and each other when
in spite of what's happening in Minnesota, they still fucking with people in Minnesota. You know, I'm seeing that they got riots going on out there now. And I'm starting to think that maybe that's the only way that any of this shit is really ever going to get dealt with. We need to stop reacting and start really responding. And every time they fucking do it, we need to really come and do it. At some point, it may get violent. But really, to me, it's already violent. Because these cops seem to be turning their level up. I don't see it going down. So now we know it ain't about who's in the White House. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's there. We're all still getting killed either way. Our situation ain't changing. Because what I'm seeing is a bunch of coward-ass police still fucking with people and still thinking that, yeah, it's going to be all right. And right now, we being plagued like a motherfucker with this Derek Chauvin shit, because if I was on tape kneeling on anybody's neck that long, they ain't going to even question it, man. Jury will be back in 3 or 4 minutes. So, listen, I love you all. I appreciate y'all for doing this. Melvin, you're the man, all right? I appreciate y'all. Y'all all enjoy right, the rest of your night. I yield.
Thank you, brother. Night.
You be easy. Appreciate you calling.
Good night, brother.
Good night, brother.
All right, yeah. Damn, that was a real good point. Mm-hmm. Brother Kevin made then, jumped in and made a solid-ass point with 8 minutes left in the show. Shit.
Okay.
But, yeah, I do appreciate everybody for listening online, everybody for calling in, being a part of the show tonight. Dre, Kevin, my other two callers, 648-7-1092. Thank you all also for calling in and listening. Always feel free to call in, and also don't hesitate to hit the one and join in the conversation. I mean, it's really about us working together. I've been saying this for the last few months now, because I just want this to subliminally sink into everybody's head. We need each other. We truly need each other out here now more than ever, because we hold the key to stopping everything that we don't like about what's happening to us. We possess that particular power. We possess the financial power that we need. Not saying that we don't deserve reparations, because reparations are definitely due us. And my thought process is, they don't want to give us money. Well, give us free health care. Give us tax-free status. Give us something. But they never think on those particular terms either. It is always just right at the end of our fingertips, and what we fail to do is just galvanize ourselves. We've got to start galvanizing ourselves. We've got to start working with like-minded people who think like you do, people who want and who are ambitious in the same manner that you are ambitious. And also, we've got to start working on ourselves internally, because if we can't sweep around our own front porch, we can't fix nothing. I said this a couple of weeks ago. Like the old folks used to say, you better sweep around your own front door. And we've got to do that as a people collectively. We've got to root out what's bad within, and then we can start processing what we need to do after that fact. But it all starts with us being on a collective thought process, being group oriented, working together economically, building schools, grocery stores, building and turning our hoods back into neighborhoods. Like sister was saying earlier, she can remember being out, and see, I was born in 69, sister, so yeah, I saw the village when it was really the village, where you couldn't step off the curb without somebody seeing you, you know. So I definitely can feel you when you say that. And that's what we got to get back to, caring for one another, looking out for one another, and stop letting people shame us into thinking it's something wrong with thinking black first. Because every morning when I get up and I'm in the mirror and I'm brushing my teeth, I see black first. So I'm black first. So I'm going to think black first. I want to work black first. Everything I do, I want all of us to be able to achieve and to actually be able to, if we don't experience true freedom, at least we can hand the ball off to that generation that's behind us, and they can take it on across the goal line. We can't afford to wait two or three more generations. We've got to get this generation behind us ready for now, because now is happening, and now it is not going to change us. So we have definitely got to get back to the grassroots, to the basics, to doing things in a way that we used to do, and doing things the way we were taught. Because it's one thing about our generation, we were a listening generation, a thinking generation, and we have, I used this example a few weeks ago, we have a weaker, wiser generation, and it is up to us to give them strength and guidance, because that's all they need is a little direction. And just like we had the village and we had our uncles and older cousins and elders within the community that made sure we stayed on track, that made sure that we took care of one another before we fought one another. You know, so we've got to get back to that mentality of love one another first, black first, love ourselves. We need each other. And like I always say, oh, well, let me plug this real quick. Thank you all for tuning in. Tomorrow night, tune in for Brother Mark Higgins and the Empowerment Zone. Wednesday show is Brother Cleveland, the Uprising. And I had spoke with Brother Kevin earlier. He said he may grace the wave this week. But if he does, we will be scheduling it and putting it out on the page. But his show is the Panther Power Chat Open Rant. And all those shows are at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I love y'all. What else can I say? I love y'all all for calling. I love y'all all for listening. I love y'all just for being who you are. You like me. If I love me, I got to love you. Something wrong with me if I don't love you the way I love me. So let's fix that. Like I always say, let's plan, organize, and unify, because we all have a key. I'm out. Peace, power, love.
Exist in a state of vainglorious as we are protected by the red, the black, and the green. Heed the words of the brother. Sissy.
Let us the word, word to phrase, the paragraph. Heed masses, day begins class. The science of past is now brought to the rhyme face. From the scrolls, state to the birthday. God to God, from God to man. Many kings, many leaders, a fist from a hand. They call me militant, now what does this mean? Do I carry a gun to the army scene? Put the cause and never pause, this simply is the brother. Raise the flag, wave the colors. Red, black, green with the key, the difference. Words make a way in the world in an instant. Living to die and I die to live again. 3 degrees. Comprehend, a man getting stronger till he's man no longer. Unearthly state makes the time seem shorter. The ever radiant awareness, voice forth the one. Open eye, stroke sun. Practicing priest, standing by what I teach. So you all stand starving as I start to leave. Work with the brought from the Genesis. Will exist, so Armageddon is a witness. The originals built the earth. While
must be aggression to learn a basic lesson. Quite majestic, stern within reality. A juggernaut when you tamper with mentality. I wear a crown, extension and dimension of a brain cell, bringing hell to the sellout. The ever tangled web we weave, always trying to obtain, no attempt to achieve. Descendants of kings and queens act like justice, never potential, caught up in the measure. Jealousy of what are we, become tendency for their thievery. Alright, cool, but no need to pull the triggers as a fool. I get my whip like that in my tool to produce the words that they dream about. It's another way of taking out these sissies who may try to extinct my principality. But of course I'm not having madness. From beginning, I'm the end. Observe me. Ignorance is not a trend. So as I beckon for a few seconds, pull the reins and you can learn from the universe, mastering birds on the verse. Funk is a fourth I exert. Egyptian, African, now I'm on a black watch. Check my sundial, slipping at the clock. I can catch a shadow as the moon reflects the sun. Creator's eyes make a path of brother one. So now I walk softly and carry a big stick, a bird stick, so you natives swing a lick. Then brings the funk and spreads jam to the wheat bread. And the funk of this one vainglorious, unearthly resistance, strong with persistence. Grand verbal allocation, tribal connection, pyramids, witness the funk bearer. Vibe sharer, not the era. Brother is balanced like the scales of Thor. And even my demand makes stones move far. Corrupt all systems, positive poison of me. Some call it onk, it's a key. Black is a color while blackness state of a mind state. But how many of you say today Brother J can find a better way? So be it. Plan it down and make it say I serve a purpose. Yet I'm not the G.I. Joe, I am the brother. Yo, I could never swear a purpose. Just taking a step to the mic and stage area as I drop the science that breaks the clock barrier. Words of old make me more than a beginner. The key opens knowledge and plays in the center. Americana man, Africana brother. Don't forget the land cause the birth is from the mother. A vibe is in place, obtained and discovered. Tune in your audio and hear the words of brother.
Yo, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, step off. I'm